finally brought you here. Behold, Forge the Narrative.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host, BL about Lost Souls Podcast. I'm joined by Adam Camilleri.
Oh, g'day.
And Tanya Gates.
Hey, everybody.
In last week's episode, we talked about some Astra Militarum builds, you know, thinking about getting on the table. This time, coming, you know, right on the heels of probably when you're hearing this, the Eldari Codex is out in everybody's hands at the moment. I know I'm anxiously awaiting my faction dice.
Nice.
Can't wait to roll them.
To go into the vault with all the rest of them.
It will be eventual collage that, you know, gets, you know, entombed with me somewhere, you know. but I want to talk about Eldari list. So right now there are some things that are people talking about, like in the theater of the mind, like what are going to be the scariest things. And I think it's kind of a toss up between the Windriders, the jet bikes, and of course an extension, the Shining Spears with that. And then the Aspect Host is like right on his tail in the mind of folks out there right now.
Yeah, so conceptualizing a lot of these builds is people are looking at the Windrider host like it has it's got the biggest ceiling, like for what it, like damage dynamics, moving around the board, scoring and stuff like that. But it has a counter assault problem. Like you do have like it's only like 1 to 2 units of Shining Spears. Sometimes people go, you know, 6-3-3.
But that's a lot of points. Like one unit of Shining Spears. So what?
240.
Bring it up. Shining Spears, with a full complement of them. Is how many points? Hang on.
240.
I just wanted to make sure we got the most updated points for this.
If you are watching this on just a podcast, and you're not watching it live, you will miss out on a lot of my expression via eyebrow move. You will. And that's your loss, you know? So, you know, there's some things you can't get back in life. One of them is my eyebrows.
But 240 points for a unit of 6 models. Now, granted, they're very fast moving and they can kind of dictate when they're seen or not. But in this type of army where you're trying to hopefully not trade your pieces away, that's a big
correct. And they're an Adeptus Astartes profile. They're toughness 4 with 2 wounds. So it's the game is very good at negotiating that chassis and that defensive profile. And a lot of people, everyone's got a tool to remove Astartes in their lineups now. And so that can be very much overwhelmed. Now, what people are looking at as a possible next best thing is like, what has Eldar been good at for this edition? MSU value. Just having like, I have so many units and each one of them is extremely good value and extremely good at either trading, returning, holding, capturing, removing stuff by, you know, combination of death by 1,000 cuts. And the Aspect Host is what people are identifying as like the next best way, the best way to do what Eldar was already doing that was good.
I think the Aspect Host will be the one that becomes the best, even if it is not out of the gate the most aggressive one. It'll be the most consistently winning one.
Correct. It's that and the War Host, they're indexed, they're upskinned indexed attachment. They look like they're the most well-rounded, like the most well-fleshed out. They've got movement jank, they have damage output in both shooting and ranged, and they have like uninteractable, you know, nonsense abilities, which Eldar's been known for forever. But the Aspect Host is the one I'm most excited about, because as far as we can tell, this is the way that people have always wanted to play Eldar, and there are so few times in the life of the game where you just get to like play every Aspect War. And gosh diggity down, they're almost all extremely good.
It kind of mimics like how I got into Eldar in the first place. Is I started playing Samhain, the first
dude,
like painted my models red, and then I got into Beltane, painting my models with the green and the vines.
I remember the red Citadel miniatures book, coloring like painting book, you know, the little magazine looking thing. And I remember flicking that open, and I think it was second edition, and Corandris was in, and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. But it's awesome. Yeah, and just being super, super jazzed. I remember having the old Warwalkers in there as well. And fantastic.
My Warwalkers I use the most are metal Warwalkers.
Yeah. The only Walkers that are cooler are the first Sentinels they ever did, which essentially is a dude in a deck chair on two big
on
legs.
On two legs. You know,
it's just a dude in a deck chair. It's so good with
going
a freaking,
straight off.
Yeah, with a freaking gun sticking out of it. It's great.
I actually have a soft spot for metal models, and I'm currently painting metal rattlings as well. So people Don't write off your metal models. Like, I love to see them on the table. So
yeah,
if you're a long time Eldari player, like the scale, you know, the size and the of the models are the, are very similar to the new models. And so if you do have a unit you want to expand on, you're they're going, as long as you paint them in a similar way, they're going to look similar. And then you give it a refresh. Like what I'm doing, I'm refreshing all their bases because they're on the 28 and a half years now, or in some cases 32 or 40 mils. You know, you can. Your army's going to look like a brand new army, and you can blend it into what you were using before. So, you know, if you are using the metal models, no reason not to use them, especially in an army like this. They still hold up. Like, those sculpts are pretty awesome, even by today's standards, I think, for the Eldar and Eldari. Now, of course, the Aspect Host, we'll talk about what that does in just a second, the detachment rule, but it also gets battle focus. So all the cool things that you do based on the, you know, the size and point level of the game, you get so many opportunities to do battle focus. So things like denying Overwatch and you know, that kind of stuff is all still available to the different detachments, which is nice. So Path of the Warrior, each time an Aspect Warrior or Avatar of Kane unit from your army is selected to shoot or fight, select one of the following abilities for it to gain until the end of the phase. Each time a model needs an attack roll, reroll a hit roll of one. So who doesn't like that? Or each time a model in this unit makes an attack roll, reroll the wound roll of
one. So you just get to, it's so good. You just get to weigh up what your opponent is and decide if you need to hit him better or wound him better.
Yeah.
And it's, fantastic.
I mean, and this is like, on an option by option basis, each time these two categories is selected, shoot or fight, you know, pick one of these things. So love that. Like, you know, it's not, you're not locked into a specific, you're not locked into a specific type of unit. You really still have the entire codex available to you to play with this detachment if you want, which is pretty.
Yeah, correct. And it just goes deeper from here. Like, you're already operating from a baseline of sick. I've just got a bunch of Aspect Warriors, and they're all going to do better at the thing that they've chosen to do.
Yeah, already specialized in things. Yeah,
like Fire Dragons. You're already rerolling everything against vehicles anyway. But you know, this means that when you're not shooting a vehicle, your Fire Dragons don't feel as bad.
Very, very true. And then here, you know, I kind of feel like the enhancements. So okay. Let me start by this. It's going to be like conceptually, like how am I building my list, or how would one approach this building your list? And I think you've kind of asked yourself, do I avatar or not avatar?
You got it right. There may be a time where you stop, but surely when you start playing Aspect Host, the avatar is there. I think there is a world where you take him out eventually just to add more value models.
Yep.
But the avatar is very good, guys. It's the most durable single model in this army and one of the most durable single models in the game.
300 points, you know, and we were just talking about, I'm going to jump back briefly to the Shining Spears, you know, 260 points. And you were talking about how many units of those do you take, and can you be everywhere to defend the Windrider Host? I still think you take Shining Spears in this list too, by the way.
But just
one unit. I think one unit is the magic number in either detachment.
I think Shining Spears are so good because once we of course break down some of the Aspect Warriors, you'll find that they're all, you know, and I use this term a lot, fit for purpose. Like here's the Aspect Warrior, and this is the one thing that it does. Like Fire Dragons kill tanks, Swooping Hawks jump around and score all your cards, Banshees, you know, shred infantry in combat. The Shining Spear is the only one that I think is multimodal. It shoots, it fights, it moves dynamically. Like it's got the best, it's almost as good as movement as Swooping Hawks. It's almost
consistent
as good
damage
as,
3.
Yeah,
you know,
it's almost as good as anti-tank at killing a vast majority of a lot of transports as Fire Dragons. And it's almost as good in combat as like Banshees and Scorpions. So like, It's the one that's kind of well rounded, and if you don't know what you need, why not take Shining Spears?
Yeah. So back to the Avatar, not Avatar. So the Avatar gained 300 points. So another, like, we've now spent a quarter of our points, you know, for the most part,
in two units.
In
two
units.
Which is not always what Eldar wants to do.
Right, but I still think so far this is like list 1.0 is Avatar, 6 Shining Spears, Aspect Host, because the Avatar moves 10.
Yeah.
So the Avatar has an aura, bloody handed aura, while friendly Eldari unit is within 6 inches of this model, add 1 to advance and charge rolls made for that unit.
Counts for himself.
Yep. And moves 10. So can almost keep up with Jetbugs.
I see what you
Well, you want to be able to get maximum potential out of these yeah. choices you should be taking for the points. Although I don't know that you do place the avatar on the table at the start of the game to throw him out there correct. In the middle of nowhere. Yeah. I don't know that yeah, you're going to be doing that, but I'm saying there are situations where you might want to do that, and the avatar is never out of the game because of that high movement on this large model with a 6-inch aura. So you're essentially it has an overall threat range of 22 inches, but you've got like this special ability that really does benefit the entirety of your army if you sleeve it up this way. The threat range is 16.
Yeah, totally agree. Where do you go from there? Any more characters in your army, you reckon?
Yes. I mean, okay, this is where you get greedy, you know? So,
well, I like Autarchs. I like Autarchs for a variety of different reasons. And the fact that you can kit your Autarch out to be, you know, the good combo piece to go with whichever assorted aspect warrior you choose. Like, yep. you know, you take the fusion gun, go with the fire dragons, et cetera, et cetera. But the bigger question is Phoenix Lord. How many is too many? Because as far as I can tell, there's only two that I would not want to windmill slam into every possible list.
I do like an Autarch with a Reaper launcher or, you know, a fusion gun or something. I do. Yeah. I definitely like that. So I'm picking up what you're putting down right there. I think you can make a strong case for Asherman.
Asherman is kind of pole position goes in every detachment in Eldari because it's just exceptional at everything. So good. The other one is Jane Zarr for me. Yep. And mostly the reason I like Jane Zarr is not because... So if you were to take Jane Zarr and a unit of, say, 5 Banshees and compare that to what you can do in Space Marines, World Eaters, Orcs, stuff like that, she doesn't stand out that much. You look at her and it's just like, okay, this combo is good, but I can probably do something that's almost as good as this for cheaper. The fact is that there's actually not that much counter assault in Eldar. There's actually not that much that will dig you out if you get overwhelmed by a melee pressure army. And that's why I think Jane Zarr is really, really good. Because in this army, you just need something to get respect out of your opponent so that they don't just like, well, if I stand back, I'm going to get out-traded by this, you know, MSU Eldar good value unit army. So I just need to go on the line and straight down the middle of them. And Jane Zarr will really stop people from wanting to do that.
That's a good point. I also like the kind of the beauty of design here. It's like what Phoenix Lord you take is, I think, needs to be based off of the aspect warriors that you think you're going to need, because there is some synergy of like the aspect warriors have a great ability. The Phoenix Lords have a great ability, but they work better together.
This is the best thing in this codex. In a codex that is already exceptional as a player, as somebody who loves Phoenix Lords and Aspect Warriors, they have it's never felt better to take the Aspect Warrior and Phoenix Lord combo of each association. Like, so Jane Zarr is already, you know, gives the units fights first and auto advance six.
And, yep.
And then the Banshees lets you advance and charge. So this is a match made in heaven. And then, of course, you got the Avatar, so you're plus one advance, plus one charge, and you're really, really slingshotting some stuff up there. The
Avatar's in this list right now, all right?
Yeah, it's just in there. But the reason I was asking about Autarchs is because there's some very good enhancements. And naturally, if you're taking the Avatar and Phoenix Lords as your only characters, you're leaving the enhancements on the table.
I'm of the mind, though, that the coolness of the Phoenix Lords... By the way, I'm not done. I think Lycus is going to be in there in first pass also with correct. Only 5 warp spiders. I don't think you need the 10 warp spiders. I think you just need to unlock the ability to threaten those things like you were talking about with Lycus in 5 of the warp spiders. But I think that though the benefits of those outweighs maybe the need to take the enhancements. But what am I missing there?
So there's one that you really want to take. And this is pretty much because Malgun Ra is... not incredible. So you want to take a Reaper Launcher Autarch with the Mantle of Wisdom to attach to 10 Dark Reapers. Because this gives you... So Mantle of Wisdom reads, Autarch or Autarch Wayleaper model only. While the bearer is leading Aspect Warriors unit, each time that unit is selected to shoot or fight until the end of the phase, you get both of the associated attachment abilities. So this unit is permanently really wants to hit and wants to wound. Dark Reapers always hit on a 3. That's been their identity forever. They always just hit on 3s, no modifiers, no
Reaper
anything.
Reaper targeters that ignore all the bonifiers of anything and have been and have done that for 100 years.
Correct. And that's what I think is the one I always probably want to take in this one, because it's just such good value. Like, it's an Autark being attached to a Dark Reaper unit that is bringing essentially an 11th Dark Reaper profile, because you've got the Reaper Launcher, and essentially making sure the unit just hits on threes, rerolls half its misses, and then wounding with strength 10 and rerolling ones, which means that they're much more likely to break through the toughness 11 kind of ceiling they have on their stuff where they're wounding on fives. Well, literally wounding on fives, rerolling. And there's a bunch of other ways to enhance those Dark Reapers in the stratagem section. There is an argument for the Shimmerstone as well, which is minus one to wound against ranged attacks. But I'm here to tell you, if you've got five toughness three aspect warriors, minus one to wound ain't going to save you. So don't worry. Don't bother with that one. If you start taking more big 10 mans and stuff like that, maybe look in the Shimmerstone.
I do like it that you jump straight to the 10 man Dark Reapers. You know,
It's debatable what the best unit in this book is that doesn't have a Phoenix Lord attached, mm-hmm. right? There's only really two options, because Dire Avengers without Azamun, not in the conversation. Azamun mm-hmm. and Dire Avengers, absolute top tier, incredible. But Dark Reapers without any enhancements, without any associated characters, are absolutely phenomenal. And Fire Dragons without any enhancements or characters.
180 points, Dark Reapers, for 10 Correct. Dark Reapers. And that gives you, if you're firing the Starshot Reaper Launcher, hitting on three, strength 10, neg 2, AP 3 damage, ignores cover.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly right. The ignores cover is the really nice bit there. So ignores people, you know, trying to smoke to survive and use stuff like that, smoking being the stratagem. So yeah, they are incredible. Incredible.
I do think the missile launcher on the Exarch, though. To get the
if you just want a bit of flex. Yeah, bit of flex so you can reach up a little bit, I think it's totally fine. But yeah, that's the unit you want to have that mental wisdom on, because the real wants to hit, wants to win is superb.
Yeah, but so that's the I don't say the trap, but these are, if you are taking the Aspect Warriors, when do you go 5, when do you go 10? And it seems like, you know, getting that efficiency of the rerolls on this quality of fire is probably a good choice to go 10 with.
Correct. The only other unit I really want to have 10 with is Dire Avengers with Azamun. 10 Dire Avengers with Azamun, I think, is too good. It's so good. It's so nice.
Well, that's probably a good time to talk about that. So Dire Avengers, let's get to their profile. And because I do think if you're going to take Azamun, and Azamun's a great choice, Dire Avengers are where it's at. But for me personally, though, when I ultimately find out that I've been too greedy on the characters, I'm not sure Azamun makes the cut, you know, with Lycus being and Jayne Zarr. I think Jayne Zarr and 10 Banshees are the way to go.
Yeah, so I'm either way on 10 on 10 or 5 for Jayne Zarr. Mostly because I look at like how people use Lilith Hesperax in Drakkari. And I think Jayne Zarr is the other side of that coin. And so often you see her with five witches, because they're just the Jayne Zarr, they're just the Lilith delivery system. Because Jayne Zarr is so extremely killy by herself that the Banshees or the witches usually never need to attack. And so I was kind of looking at it like that. Like, in the vast majority of the time, Jayne Zarr is just going to solve this problem by herself, and the Banshees are just to make sure Jayne Zarr makes it in there. But yeah, I can see the argument, especially in some metas that are even more melee focused.
So Azamun has the tactical acumen. While this model is leading a unit in your shooting phase, after that unit has shot, it can make a normal move of up to 6 inches. If it does, until the end of the turn, that unit is not eligible to declare a charge.
Inbuilt fire and fade. Superb. One of the best possible abilities you could have in the game.
Yeah, extra movement and...
Yeah,
It's not a D6, it's up to 6 in any direction you want.
Just flat 6. And we already know, you know, in the battle-focused abilities, there's another couple of little things that can also, you know, allow you to have a lot of ability to move again.
And then going to the Avengers. Oh, you got that? Go for it.
The second ability is the real spicy one that makes Azamun, like, just a very hard thing to quantify. So once per battle, when this model is selected to shoot, it can use its ability. If it does, until the end of the phase, its Bloody Twins, which is the shooting attack, has damage characteristic of 3, anti-infantry 3+, and devastating wounds. So 3+ to wound will be flat 2 damage. And you have your 6 shots at hitting on 2s, which will be rerolling 1s in Aspect Host, at strength 5, minus 1, 2 damage. And of course, in the Aspect list, he'll be rerolling 1s. And in half range, if he's joined to a Dire Avenger unit, he will have sustain hits 1 as well. And then in addition to that, and now we're getting real spicy, we know you have the Aspect Warrior Shrine tokens, meaning you can flip a couple of things to 6s. So Azamun can walk up, hitting on 2s with 6 shots, rerolling once because the aspect host, and then automatically have two after you've rolled, automatically flip two of those to sixes, and then have eight hits, and then be wounding on threes into infantry with devastating wounds. So he will literally by himself, just like kill a unit of marine infantry just with dev wounds. And then, or if you want against a vehicle, you can flip two of those to sixes and just do four mortal wounds to a vehicle. Just do it.
That seems pretty good.
It seems quite good, doesn't it?
for a unit that can do that and then move into cover.
Correct.
And I guess that's where I was, my thought process is as far as like maybe not 10 Dire Avengers, because I see this playing out to where you're mostly getting out there, doing a little bit of damage, to, you know, taking out a small unit and then scooting on to an objective.
Getting out of,
and you could do that with 5 or 10.
Mm. Yeah, that's totally fair.
But then you what you mentioned is the Dire Avenger ability. This we're talking about, the Phoenix Lord and the unit, the Aspect Warriors, combine to make basically like superpower combos, but you got to take the two things to do it. The sustained hits one. Range weapons equipped by models in this unit have sustained hits one ability while targeting an enemy within half range as the Dire Avenger, which Asherman leads.
Very powerful. Yeah, yeah. Really good.
Yeah, dig in on that. Dire Avengers are 75 points for 5, 150 points for 10. So not bad. You know, and what you would try to find is how much cool Eldar list and rules can I get in for that 2,000 points. And then what one of the MOs, like you've hinted at, is that the Eldar want to be taking units away from you, not trading their units.
Not trading.
And yeah, that correct. Is very, very achievable in this particular like, codex and you know, like the kind of the army. Jayne Zarr, though, is in with the Howling Banshees. So Jayne Zarr. Let me get to her real quick. Well, actually, I'll start with the Howling Banshees. Howling Banshees have the Banshee Blades. Anti-infantry 3+, 2 damage.
Yep. Strength 4, minus 2, 2 damage. They've had one of the most significant glow-ups from the index to this. They hit on 2s now, too, as well. So they're just hitting on it with everything, because they're going to be hitting on 2s re-rolling 1s, if you choose to do so. Or wounding infantry on 3s re-rolling 1s, if you choose to do so. They are extremely good. A big fan. And, of course, with Jayne Zarr, they have fight first, and they just become a very hard thing handle. They
fight first by themselves.
Oh, fair enough. So she just has fight first on her data sheet.
Jayne Zarr lets them do the auto 6.
Auto 6.
Advance. So yeah. It turns them into a move 14.
Yeah, just move 14, declare a charge. Well,
so you know what happens.
If you got the avatar hanging out nearby.
You move the avatar up, they move 15,
mm-hmm.
and then charge with a plus 1. So...
Seems strong.
Why don't you want 10 of them?
Because like after they've hit, they are just like toughness 3, no save models.
Yeah.
And well, it depends on your meta. Like if what I said about you know, space wolves possibly giving you issues, or you know, things like big greater demons and stuff like that, maybe you do need the 10 because they're not infantry, and so you just need the weight of attacks to go through. But Jayne Zarr having like 8 attacks. And rerolls to hit. Yeah, sorry, reroll to wound against characters at. Strength 6, minus 3, 2 damage. She's incredible. She is incredible. And very much akin to, like I said, how people use Lilith.
Good point. That's a good comparison. Sorry, Tanya.
So you have all of these options. I'm just like speaking as somebody who is a filthy casual here. You have all of these options. Are you just trying to make like the most Swiss Army knife kind of list that you can with these to have as many tools as possible, or are you just strictly looking at all of these units from like a efficiency kind of point of view?
That's a great question, and I'll offer up this as some type of explanation, is that the Eldari have incredibly specialized units. And just having one of those in your list, so I still think packing one unit of Fire Dragons, you know, in a Wave Serpent or something, and one unit of Dark Reapers is enough to keep a lot of opponents like almost in check, like figuring out when are you going to put those out there, and it may cause a little bit of analysis paralysis on their side. Like they don't want to put that unit out there because it will be vaporized by one of these two specialist units. And so how do you get out there and get board presence and control with these other things? And so the units that I've been like suggesting are on top of my mind with the Shining Spears and the Banshees and Lycus in the, I'm using the Warp Spiders as a assault unit almost.
Yeah.
Are all
10 attacks on the 10 attacks on the Exarch now.
Yeah. That forward press.
So the way I would construct this and I'm just going to reel this off the top. No idea where about points. Avatar Arcane, one Ortok with a Reaper launcher, and the enhancement I mentioned with 10 Dark Reapers. I'd go, yeah, Jayne Zarr, 5 Banshees, Azamun, 10 Dire Avengers, Lycus, 5 Warp Spiders, and then just from there, just scattershot five units of five into the ether. Like two, depending on your meta.
As long as there's 6 Shining Spears, yeah.
Yeah, add the 6 Shining Spears. And if you know your meta, you know you've got tons of transports and stuff. Maybe you go 2 or 3 by 5 Fire Dragons. Maybe another unit of 5 Dire Avengers. You do want at least 1 unit of 5 Sweeping Hawks, because they're just so good at scoring you cards. And they also do their little flyover grenade-y goodness. We call it the Wing Nades. With their ability to do mortals on the flyover. And yeah, then from there, you just you take a couple units of Rangers if you want. You take some Storm Guardians or regular Guardians if you want just a bit of utility, a bit of OC to throw on things. And then, yeah, you just end up with a list that has like 13, 14 units, 4 of which you really care about, and the rest of them, chuck them out there, trade up, do well.
Yeah. So I think in the aspect host that we're talking about, that basically tries to focus on how do you buff up the specialized units, it is. It's like so easy to get greedy or distracted by cool rules.
The internal balance of this codex is so good that people are going to overspend on the wrong units or the wrong matchups. Like if you were just like, well, I'm taking Fuegan, I guess I got to take 10 Fire Dragons for Fuegan. I'm taking Lycus, got to take 10 War Spiders for Lycus, got to take 10 of this, 10 of that. You'll find yourself just with not enough army. Also, I would let you know, Fire Dragons do not need Fuegan. I love Fuegan.
I think you're right.
Best way to use him is unattached, just by himself, just being I get back up on death and I'm actually hard to kill. And every now and then I'm going to one-shot a Rhino. I'm just going to kill it because you came into range, you fool. But yeah, Fire Dragons need like 5 Fire Dragons, like on average, can down just about any tank in the game that isn't like a good invuln, you know, super heavy. They will kill Lehman Russes very effectively, just 5 of them, as long as they get melter range.
So the Fire Dragons have the Assured Destruction rule. In your shooting phase, each time a model in this unit makes a range attack that targets a monster or vehicle, you can reroll the hit roll, you can reroll the wound roll, and you can reroll the damage. So yes, absolutely incredibly powerful. Don't even need the special rule of the...
Yeah.
But this is a unit that is so good at doing that one thing.
Correct.
Ultimately powerful. I do think you need a unit of Fire Dragons in the list. Debatable whether it's 5 or 10.
Yeah, I think it's totally up to your medical, like what do you usually play against. If you've got a bunch of Mechanized Guard and Votan and stuff like that, or Necron Shatterstar, 100% go a little heavier. If you're finding you're playing against a lot more infantry, yeah, 5's enough.
Yeah, I mean, you can shoot your guns in whatever direction you want. I guess, you know, if you're going to plan on buffing them up or running a character with them, you do what you will want the 10. I just don't think it's I think the inclination to go to 10 is going to be easy because you see the maximization of the buff or the stratagem or whatever. But I think that the Eldari units are so specialized and so good at what they do that you might not need those extra 5 bodies. You might want a utility of another unit instead.
Yeah, absolutely right. Because that's going to be like the pitfall, like you said, is spending overspending on those big 10-mans when 5 would have got the job done and allowed you to have more options.
Yeah, and I do think, like, I'm going into this list design with 300 points in an Avatar and 260 points in 6 Shining Spears.
Yep.
So the points are going to get real, and we've already talked about the compelling case of taking 3 other Phoenix Lords. So I'm in greed mode right now also. So I'm trying to give myself as much advice as anything else out there right now. But I really do think that Lycus is, I mean, granted it's a new model and there's some appeal of wanting to link it men on the table. I think there's a lot of utility in that. Plus the Warp Spiders can deliver some pain. And then
absolutely.
You know, Adam, you were talking about the 10 attacks with the Power Blades. Is like, I'm looking at that model.
Why?
I'm like,
I'm scratching my head. Why do the Wolf Spiders do this? Like, why are they a melee threat all of a sudden?
It's interesting. It really is. I think it's compelling. You could make a case for the special filament cannon, you know, or the blades or the 10 attacks.
Yeah, that's another thing they've done really well in this book. Is so for so many other editions, especially not having to pay necessarily points for enhancements and sorry for different
upgrades,
loadouts. there was always just like, oh, that one's the best one. Let's not, we'll never see a different option. They've done a really good job of giving you actual choices to make, especially on your Exarchs. Like every Exarch, you actually have a choice of what weapon you're going to put on it.
That is the case. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more around this out, and then we'll talk about some hobby stuff, lore stuff. It's going to be some vintage FTN. Y'all hang out. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games, Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back, everybody. Thanks for hanging in through a word from our sponsors. Check them out, especially when there's new stuff to get. All the new kits. You don't want to be left without your shrine token. Oh, that's I'm really excited. Like, this has been a good series of releases for me. Blood Angels, Guard, Eldari, you know, like, love it. Absolutely. Like, this is cannot build and cannot paint fast enough. You know, it's so cool.
I feel really blessed that I've got my factions. And while some other factions kind of like pull at my heartstrings a little bit, for the most part, I'm just very happy to stick with my three factions. Mm. And my wandering eye just is really easy to rein back in.
That is a blessing. Before we get into the next part, a quick public service announcement is that the new Warhammer Plus subscriber miniatures are available now if you're a Warhammer Plus subscriber on the site. You can get and this year they're really cool, like Inquisitor stuff for the 40K side, and it was like some Sidious Sigmar type stuff for the Sigmar side. So very dynamic and compelling minis. I cannot wait to get mine. I am a subscriber. Love the stuff they're doing over there. And then really, like, it's almost like a no-brainer with the Battleforge and everything else, to me anyway. Not gonna suggest people spend their hard-earned ducats for something they don't want, but at the same time, I love the minis. I just noticed today, as I was contemplating getting some other stuff for this Eldari army, that it is available.
So what are you contemplating getting then?
Oh, just more Shining Spears, you know. It's like,
oh, okay. Perfect.
No, I'm actually, it's like I have, so I, my Wind Riders, I have them built with Shuriken Cannon, but I think that Scatter Lasers are the way to go now. And so if you're going to use them, you probably want Scatter Laser or the Volume of Fire. And as we just talked about, I don't have enough points in this other list, you know, for that. But while I'm painting up some other bikes, maybe get the bikes, you know, all done at the same time. That's what I was thinking. But enough about that. We're going to change gears a little bit and start talking about some Astra Militarum, because, Tin, you let us know in the pre-show that you've been working on a particularly nerdy pursuit.
It could be, I think, the nerdiest thing that I've ever done when it comes to Warhammer. And Warhammer's pretty nerdy, so I think that that's saying something. But I've had this idea in my head that I really want to start writing some lore for my custom regiment. And actually, when we were talking the other day about whether or not you mix the different regimental models within your forces, I always like to do it. And I wanted to figure out how to organize my forces in such a way that it makes sense to have all of those different things. So I'm looking at it right now. I've got like a huge spreadsheet that I've made with Lord Solar up at the top. I've got three sort of attached but not regimental forces as well. So sort of, you know, horizontal to my regiment, which is the 23rd Voidborn. I've got the 23rd Voidborn Vipers, which are my Scions.
Oh, my heart just lit up when you named them. I'm like, what? All right, I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't actually have a lot of Scions yet, so it's not fully fleshed out on how that's going to look, but I did put Severina Rain in there because I feel like she just goes with Scions so well in the lore, so she's kind of in there with them. And then underneath in each one I have my models that I've collected over the years, and I did this so that I kind of know where I need to flesh out things a little bit, where I need to fill in the blanks in my collection. I want to have have like an airborne attachment as well, so an Aeronautica Imperialis squadron. I only have one Valkyrie and a Thunderbolt at the moment in terms of planes, so obviously that is something that I'm going to need to flesh out as well. And then way in the future, I want to have an Adeptus Mechanicus Maniple as well, so just a small little force that assists.
Yeah, the maintain.
Yeah, maintaining tanks and the transports is a logistics train that is not present, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, maybe there needs to be, like, entire mountain ranges flattened in order for the Imperial Guard to come in there and do what they need to do. So you need to have some Mechanicus in there.
Yeah, for one small helipad. Yes. That mountain just gotta go.
That's right. And then, like, we get into the actual Voidborne regiment. So we start off, I've got a headquarters and signal squadron, and I'm going to just basically put all of my named characters in there, all of my Bulgrin, my Ogryn, my navigators, because I still have, like, Astropaths and navigators and things that I've kit-bashed over the years. So they all go in there. What's the best?
Just kit-bashing, like, cool human things.
Yeah, and, like, I never get rid of models, even if they, you know, are squatted or whatever. I'm going to keep them. Eventually, I'm going to organize these all on the shelf, like, in their little brigades and batteries. So they're going to stay in my collection forever. But then we move on. We've got the 23rd Armored Brigade, and this is going to be basically all of my Lehmans and stuff like that. So I've got the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Armored Squadron. I've also named my Lehman Russes as well. I don't know if I'll share their names, but...
just give us one.
Angel Maker is one. Yeah. And then I've got the 1st Siege Squadron. That's where my Rogal Dorns and my Storm Sword are going to go. And then I've got a 1st Mobile Siege Squadron. That's where my Armored Sentinels are currently, and I would really like to get more of those. I only have 2, so that definitely needs to be filled out a little bit. And then, yeah, so I go all the way down the line. So I've got an artillery battery. I've got mechanized infantry company. I've got a light infantry company that really has nothing in it, but it's a holding spot for eventual Catachans when they get re-released. Paul, that might be a long time in the future. We don't know, but it's
like, I'm as hopeful spot as you are.
I've got the 23rd Cavalry Company, which is going to have the first Royal Voidborn Hussars, which are my Death Riders and Lord Dreer. And then I've got the 1st Light Horse Patrol, which is my Rough Riders. And then I've got a reconnaissance platoon. So I've got a section and a squadron in the reconnaissance platoon as well. So, and now I know where all of my holes are. Definitely need to fill out that light infantry. And that's it.
I'm digging that.
I adore this. Adore this so thoroughly.
Yeah, and so now I'm going to
feel like I have the time or inclination for such an adventure.
I want to do it. I'm going to break up a spreadsheet tomorrow.
This is brilliant.
I'll take a screenshot and I'll send it to you guys.
I do like, though, is like, and this is where, you know, this little hole here that needs to be filled. But that's a cool thing. You can, like, go get into that zone, that mindset, and do it out perfect. Like, you know where it needs to fit, that puzzle piece that it needs to fit. So does that impact how you like model and like adorn them, you know, type?
Yeah. So let's take the 23rd Mechanized Infantry Company, for example. I've got the 1st and 2nd Voidborn Mounted Fusiliers. Those are my Cadians. So they're going to be mostly gray and green. And then I've got the 1st Voidborn Dragoons, which are my Kriegers. And they're going to be mostly the same green plus maroon. And they're all color-coded in the spreadsheet as well.
Spreadsheets.
This sounds exquisite. And look, I did, you know, I pressed for a name on the tank. I didn't think it was going to be there, but I didn't think the chances were zero. It was like Leeming McLeamy face, you know, but he came correct.
Yeah.
So like the 1st Armored Squadron, all of the names have Maker in it. So there's Queen Maker, Angel Maker, and Widow Maker. Those are like the 3 Leemans in there right now. Oh, yeah.
Nah, love it. I want to throw up the horns. It's metal. So metal.
Yeah. Actually, Angel Maker is one of my favorite metal bands, so...
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Can you make one, like, Taco Maker for Paul?
Taco Maker?
I don't know if that fits the theme. That needs Burger to be maker. Light infantry. This seems yeah. to be.
Yeah. No, it has to be a Trojan support vehicle. It's the food van at the back in the support train. Taco maker.
This is awesome. No, that is like is I love it.
I feel like I just like I don't know if you've ever just woken up one day and you're like, I've been thinking about doing this for a really long time. I just absolutely just need to throw it down on paper. But I feel like this gives me the framework now that I can start working on my actual lore and then do fun little videos about it. That's yeah. the, yeah.
That's what it's all actually about.
Speaking of fun sharing little videos.
Sharing it with people. Yeah.
People can
yeah.
see you doing something else cool if you want to let them know what you've been up to.
Yeah, so a few weeks ago, I got a call saying, hey, Tanya, do you want to come down to play on tabletop in 2 days? And I was like, yes, I do. I do want to. So I just threw a list of what I had painted together. And we filmed this actually before the Guard Codex came out. So I really wanted to use some of like the new models and stuff which Playon, you know, had painted up and stuff. So I went and I played with some of the new models, and now the battle report is out over on Playon Tabletop and you can watch it, and no spoilers, but it's a really, really good one. Probably the best.
Which detachment did you
I took Recon Element.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it. I'm loving yeah. all the guard debates about, you know, how do I build this? How do I build that? Because one thing they did really good in the Codex is they gave you full freedom to fall backwards into your desired way to play guard. And I think it's beautiful.
I just like leaned into the lore of the Voidborn as like a forward sort of scouting element. And so, yeah, to me and the way that I play the game and, you know, the whole idea behind my guard army, it just made the most sense to play Recon Element. It just feels good for me to play that. Is it the best? I have no idea. I don't have the broad knowledge base of the meta or what's good to, like, be able to tell you. All I know is that I enjoy playing it. I enjoy the stratagems a lot. And that's all that's good enough for me.
No, like that's absolutely. Checks a lot of boxes.
Absolutely.
Right there. Yeah. And all candidly though, it is a brewer's built, you know, paradise out there right now. Like like lots of different things are winning, you know, somewhat consistently. And like it's really, you know, it's difficult to say what army list or archetype is gonna win every single week because there's a lot of variance and it's pretty balanced. So like playing what you like right now, as long as it is a list that has some synergy around, you know, built in with it, or you play with it, or you're aware of like when to use your tricks and stuff, like it's gonna win a lot of games, and you know, or and have close games, so it's not yeah. a bad
I mean thing. I specifically made this list to go into terrible matchups and still score points, because I'm in the middle of a team event right now, which is practice for like an actual in-person team event. And yeah, so far it's doing what it needs to do in that sort of competitive space, as competitive as I am. And yeah, so I'm just just the little sacrificial lamb getting thrown out there. But as long as I can get, you know, 5 to 7 points, we're happy. If I can get more than that, we're even happier. So
nice. Well, look, keep us posted on the regiment building and the world building within your regiment. Please do. And now, look, it's time to kind of bring back a finishing moves segment. We haven't done that in a little while, and this one is going to be about bases. Basically, how do you put, basically no pun intended, but how do you put some of your own spirit into a model as through its base, channel its base?
Well, so this has all come about because for the first time ever, I'm getting an army commissioned, which I've never done before, but I wanted to do the bases myself. And this is a Chaos Knights army. And much like my Guard army, my Marines army, I have a Dark Angels, and then I actually have the Traitor Dark Angels, which I play in 30K. So I have both sides of that faction. These are the Knights of Orlac in the fluff. Feel free to go look them up. And they're the ones that are most closely aligned and resemble Dark Angels. And so they've also going to have two halves of the faction. Like, they got split down the middle, you know, half joined Luther, half stayed loyal. And so my Chaos Knights are the disloyal ones. And so I wanted to put a bunch of beat up Imperial Knight stuff on the bases and vice versa and have them painted the same scheme, which was hard because, of course, I had the army painted by someone else. But the good news is I'm going to have this stuff so beat up, you're not going to tell it's a slightly different scheme.
Just get some of the base colors in there, you'd be all right. Yeah.
So for it's pretty hard for people to say, but that's where we're at so far. So I just I've picked out the components I wanted, mapped out where I want to stick the actual knight because I'm going to have to pin it to the base, of course. And then I decided to scattershot bits and pieces over the place. Like right now I've got a Dark Angel symbol sticking out of the mud, just like sticking up there to associate back to the Dark Angels, but that this is also beat up. And then I've got like the front helmet of an Imperial Knight that's been broken open by a tree root growing through it, which I thought was really cool. Got some putty, made some tree roots. You gotta get it nice and soft, and then get a little noodle of it, and then you twist it a little bit to be the tree root bits, and then you just wrap it around
and
stick it on. Yeah, it's really good. It's very effective as well with a very minimal amount of work. And I did the same thing for a tree root growing around an Imperial Knight's leg. So I actually did a little bit of a oopsie and did not factor in Australian sun. I had a fully painted and magnetized Imperial Knight that I got in a trade that was not very well painted. And I went to strip it by components and I had it in three different tubs. And I put it outside because it was, you know, it stinks. Stinks up your house, the stripping liquor I'm using. And it turned out to be a very hot day and a lot of the components melted.
Oh, no.
Yay! And so now they're basing material. Yes. basing material.
I have a Chimera like that. I left it outside in the hot Canadian sun in the summertime. Wild. And now it has this like dent in the middle. It looks like it's been stepped on by a knight or something. So
can you send that to me? No.
I probably could.
But yeah, now, well, so because I had all the armor panels off, I had one tub with all the armor panels, one tub with the skeleton, one tub with the guns and the arms, and the gun arms and the armor pieces are the bits that melted. So I could technically have a naked standing knight, but it's not going to be finished. And I'm not happy with it. So I snapped off one of its feet and I stuck it on the base as well. And so now it's got a foot and a helmet and a little extra bit of carapace. And so the plan is from here, so I'm in the painting process now. I've texture painted the base, made a couple of little hills with some extra putty, just so it's a bit uneven. And then I used a Vallejo dark green base, so I just sprayed it with that. And then I dry brushed it with a light brown and a little bit of bone. And then after I finished the painting...
Green on bone is that's a game changer. That's
exactly
unlocks so much.
Match made in heaven. I'm going to, after I paint it, the whole thing's going to get an Athonian camo shade wash to just give it that dark kind of foresty feel. And then I'll do some spot washing of Agrax or Sepia as well, depending if I need some more richness or want to darken it down further. And then where I'm trying to stretch my legs is in basing material. So, of course, this stuff all going to be painted. But past that, I actually went and bought like a big old bag of oregano. And I'm going to throw... oregano. Completely different thing. I'm going to put some PVA and get some foliage on there. And of course, I've got some nice green tufts as well. And then I'm going to, you know, try and seal the whole thing to the best of my ability. But what I want to try and stretch my legs is I want parts of the base to look wet. So like, I don't want to say the M word, but I want it to look like dank foliage,
yeah,
you know, at the bottom of like a trees and stuff. And so I've got some gloss varnishes I could use for that, but it might be a little bit too gloss. It might just look like it's drowning in liquid rather than just being a little bit moist. And so instead I've got this, I think it's a Vallejo product, and it dries clear. Like it's for making rivers and puddles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try and use that and put a couple of drops of that onto the foliage.
That should work just fine.
It's dank and dark. And so, yeah, that's my finishing move. I'll definitely show you guys the finished product and get it up on socials and stuff. But, yeah, this guy needs to be done today because I'm playing with it tomorrow.
Yay. Best of
luck. This is the way.
Yeah. I'm likely not going to get the oregano down just because the PVA takes a bit longer and stuff like that. I'll probably do that afterwards. I'll probably get everything else done and come back to that.
There's nothing wrong with like every tournament you go to, like using it as an opportunity to revisit your models and putting in maybe one other element, or actually that's when you do the edge highlight or whatever.
Like, and I figure it's the kind of adventure you want to do when you got more than one base to do it on. Like, wait till I got four or five bases ready to go, and slap them all on.
Before we wrap up, I also got a base to share. This, so I think I've shared it before, and I know we've talked about it before on episode 400 and something or whatever. But now we can actually show it off.
That's years ago.
I know, it really is. But I forgot the paint recipe for this and went back and listened to the found it on the website.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant.
This is plastic. This is 1 millimeter plastic card cut into like these random like cobblestone type shapes, and you know, just score it, and then you can break it off in your hand, glued to a base in whatever pattern you want. Zandri dust is the base, Agrax Earthshade, and then dry brush, Eustavity bone, and then pallid whiplash on top of that. And then the green is Dirty Down's moss, and it works. It's like a, it is like a acrylic. Sorry, it's like an oil-based product that, but it's an acrylic product. It gives you that texture, that feel, or whatever. And anyway, I dig it a lot. And that is the result of that. This is what my Eldar has. As a lot of them are getting rebased. And so yeah, just you know, don't neglect the bases. Faces and bases are what they say. So.
The only element I want to get on these bases that I don't quite have a recipe for yet is doing moss. And you just jarred my memory with that color you use.
This it's a one bottle that gives you a little texture and a cool little bit of, you know, organic look feel to it. I mean, it's not sponsored, but I've been using it and I'm happy with the product, and it's
works.
Give it a shot. Yeah, give it a shot.
Brilliant. We'll do. Yeah.
Paul, can I also interest you in a paint recipe journal?
Yes,
it's really handy. And look, you can even like mix the colors or whatever. Like, you know, they don't make that color anymore, but that's okay because I put it in the journal so I can match it.
I was looking around for mine, and Eldari bases was blank. Like, it was the only blank. like
past four failed you. You failed you, mate.
Yeah, past me was like, forget it. You're always gonna remember this. And then I thought I did, and I did one. I'm like, this does not look the same.
Yeah.
This thing has saved me. As an army painter, this thing has saved me so many times.
I used the journal. Do send pictures of that army and the bases that you do. Good luck. And give me some action shots from the event if you're playing tomorrow. And that's our show this week. Been a pleasure talking about the ups and downs of creating a list, getting too greedy. Or finding the right balance for building a list in a codex that is just absolutely bristling with cool choices, flavorful choices, which is nice.
And just then, quick aside, like the internal balance of the Eldari codex is so good. There's like one unit that I don't think you will take often. That's it. Every other unit is like, could be a staple unit. It's so good.
Nice. Well, look, we'll continue to explore these topics. Got more stuff coming next week. Keep your ears peeled. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe. Maybe check us out. You know, get a t-shirt, anything you want to do. Leave some comments. Really appreciate it. We'll see you all next week, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Our craft worlds are sentient beings. These hosts are not. Better luck next time, monkeys!